We are all caught up as a Jewish people preparing for the holiday of Passover. Every one of us, as we were walking in, was talking about who was coming for Seder tonight. Thinking about being with our family. And here we are, saying goodbye to a beloved friend. A holiday where we celebrate freedom and our appreciation for family and Jewish values. It's incredibly sad and incredibly poignant, and yet fitting that as we come to celebrate as families, we say goodbye to Nais, who most probably is rejoicing at being with his family, with his wife, and his parents, who've been so long in love. Today is a hard day to do eulogies. Jewish law mandates we cannot be overly sad on the eve of the holiday of Passover. Indeed, we are instructed not to overly mourn, not to eulogize. The mourning rituals are cut short. There will be no Sudat Havra'ah, no meal of consolation. There are no Shiva services. Leonard and Larry, who would spend a week, a month, a year of mourning, will only spend the actual Shiva, which is normally 7 days, it finishes this evening with Passover. Because they, like the rest of us, take part in the reenactment of the going out of Egypt. It's almost as if this is what your father would want of you. Not to overly mourn, but rather to celebrate a life well lived, and to celebrate with your family over Passover, and to have happy, happy memories of a wonderful man that he was. Nais was born on December 27th, 1922, in Atlanta, Georgia. Nais's parents came from Rhodes, from Rhodes. His father actually arrived here in Seattle, but he didn't like the weather much. And so he said, I've got some siblings down in Atlanta, and he went down there to be with them. Nais grew up there within a large extended family of his parents and their siblings, his aunts, his uncles, and all the cousins down there. So how did Nais make it here to Seattle? Nais's older brother Ike had served in World War II, and when he finished serving, he was discharged in Seattle. And Nais's father, as I'd mentioned, Nais's parents passed away very young. Nais's father had died at a young age, so Nais and his older brother Ike, who are now running the family, decided the best thing would be to move the whole family up to Seattle. Nais lived to 95 and a half. And yet Nais never thought he would make it to 60, as both his parents and siblings had died under 50. Nais lived a long and happy life, and he was married to the love of his life, Rita, for 67 years. Rita and Nais were set up on a blind date by Vivian Adato. And it was on the second date that Nais knew he was in love. They got engaged very soon, and after that, and they were married on October 30th, 1948. Leonard was born in 1950, and Larry, I'm going to date you, you were born on September 13th, 1952. Nais was a salesperson for Pacific Fish and Waterfront Fish, selling fish to restaurants. Those companies were owned by the Al-Hadith and Calvo families, so again, not moving over far away from the Sephardic family. Nais was dedicated to his wife and children and made sacrifices by not only working hard at the fish markets, but also by working two or three jobs to make sure that they lacked for nothing and were always provided for. On Monday nights, he sold women's shoes, and for many years, he delivered Chinese takeouts. Everything to make sure that his wife and his sons had all that they needed. Nais and Rita were very loving parents, and as they got older, they took care of each other. The respect and care they showed each other was inspiring. Until her passing, your mom took care of your father in such a tender and loving way. And you, Larry, and you, Leonard, you've taken on so much of that work. You've been there for your father You've made sure he's always had the best care he's needed. But Larry, I'm going to single you out for just a moment. Just to say, I think that you lived in the Klein Gallen these past months. Every time I'd be there to do something or visit another resident, I'd always bump into Larry in the hallway there, always there visiting. And Leonard, you too were there to share some of the classic stories of your father. It was so wonderful when I was meeting with Leonard and Larry to hear the stories. Some of them only Larry knew, some of them Leonard had. Some great stories of the really old time back in Atlanta, which Nathan only shared with Leonard. And Larry had other memories, which only Larry knew. And it's such an incredible thing of how he was able to relate to each of you differently and at the same time and raise you up to be the fine men that you are today. Your parents loved family get-togethers. You were there every Friday night. And your mom organized the best meals around the holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, and the American holidays. But I want to talk about your dad for a moment. He was great at fixing everything around the house. He never called out to repairmen. So I can't imagine this. I call out repairmen. I wish I had him around. Fixing everything he wanted to fix, he took pride in it. And I think it was Larry who told me this. He never knew how the washer or dryer worked, but he was always able to fix them. Nate was also a tremendous son-in-law to Rita's parents, and he loved them as if they were his own parents. He loved his daughters-in-law as if they were his daughters, too. The grandchildren brought your parents tremendous joy. As grandparents, when they were healthier, they would attend as many events of the grandkids as possible. Basketball, baseball, soccer, cruise, school plays, you name it, they would make sure that they were there, and the joy on their faces of seeing their grandchildren in action truly made it feel for them. And despite some major health issues, Nace fought on to the end. He was a fighter, he was a survivor. I cannot tell you how many times over the last few years I've heard, I think it might be coming to the end. And each time, he would surprise us. He would go on making sure that he was going to be with us. You know, I'd get calls from Larry, from Leonard. I'd even get calls from Steve, from the audience sometimes, saying, I think it's close. And yet, he defied the odds. It's almost as if, every time he got sick, he wanted the family to be around him, to be together one last time. And that was him. He wanted to stay with us. He wanted to be there for all the milestones, all the occasions. But this time, I knew that when Larry called me, that this Passover, he wanted to be with Mom. He needed to go back to her. He couldn't bear not being another Pesach without her. Larry and Leonard, you are two wonderful sons who are blessed to have the most selfless, hardworking, and supportive fathers. I want to finish with two stories that Larry and Leonard shared with me yesterday. Classics. One took place about 8 years ago. There was a famous foot race between Nace in his walker, his consuegra, Louise Hassan, in her walker, and their great-granddaughter, Olivia. Do you remember this one, Olivia? Olivia had just learned to walk. She was 1 year old. And of course, Olivia, you won, didn't you? And no one waited to see who came in second place. I think they were a long way back. Another great story was, and this is about Larry, that when Larry was 3 or 4 years old, you know, like all 3 or 4 year olds, he didn't want to go to sleep that night. And just refused every time, and he said, time for bed, it's time for bed. And finally, they said, do you know what this is? And Larry said, do you know what this is? It's And Nace held back from laughing, but he had the last laugh because that's his favorite story of all time. You boys are so lucky to have had him, but I think he was lucky to have had you. To be there, to look after aging parents, to look after your aging mother, and then looking after your aging father. You showed so much love, so much dedication, so much caring that you are a role model to all on how to honor and show respect to parents in their later years. That's what Kibbud Ahava Aim, honoring one's father and mother, truly means. Not when we're little and we're scared of them and we do whatever we tell them, although Larry, not so scared. But more so, that when we truly realize what they've done for us, and in there, when it's harder for them, when we still show them all the respect, all the honor that they deserve. That, prior to looking it up in a dictionary, I was looking it up in a definition of halacha, a Jewish law. What is Kibbud Av Va'Em? I have a picture of Larry and Leonard, and there would be them honoring their father and mother. You should always carry with that to you forever as a badge of honor of what it means to love your parents. May Nace rest in peace, and may we all celebrate Pesach knowing that he has lived a life worth living and that he is happy now and he is at peace. Tehei nishmato tzur v'raag v'tzochim b'gan Eden. Amen. Ken yirotzo. As I said, we're going to have only one other eulogy today, and that's not any disrespect to Nace. That's only because of the holiday. Every one of you, I'm sure, would want to be here to memorialize him. But as such, as it is the eve of Passover, we're going to have Dan, the grandson, to come up and say a few words.
Before I begin, on behalf of the entire Kibbud Av Aim, I wanted to thank my grandfather's three caregivers, Eva, and Yellow, for the care, the wonderful, loving, compassionate care that they took. I'd also like to mention my Uncle Leonard and my father. The two of you were amazing sons to my grandparents. Your devotion to them and their well-being was admirable. My grandparents were blessed to have you both. It seems like on almost a monthly basis, I get asked by someone I've never met before the same types of questions. The questions usually come from someone in the community, and if it wasn't for my grandpa Nace being my grandfather, no one would ever even ask me any of these questions. Almost on cue, when I meet someone new, they ask, which Piha family are you from? How do you spell Piha with an I or a How are you related to so-and-so Piha? I've gotten these questions so many times in my life, my answers probably seem rehearsed. They go something like this. From what I've been told, we were not related to most of the Peacock families in Seattle, but we all came from the same island, and the island's not that big, so you never know. You spell our name with an I, obviously. And which Peacock family do we come from? Well, I'll tell you. My grandfather, Mace Peacock, was born and raised in a Prince George. He moved to Seattle as a young man with his mother and his younger brother, after his older brother Isaac settled in the area. My grandfather lives here the rest of his life. He met and married my beautiful grandmother shortly after his arrival. The Piha style had something to do with that. And they started a family raising two sons, Leonard and Larry, who provided him with four grandchildren, Jeff, Alana, Eitan, and me, along with four great grandchildren, Olivia, Nathan, Raven, and Samuel. My grandfather worked for many years as a salesman at Pacific Fish. As he was delivering fish, he built personal relationships with his customers. He was such a likable person. His charm had a way with everyone he met. My grandfather had a knack of figuring things out. Not only did my grandfather fix everything around the house whenever something would break, he fixed everything without the luxury of the internet or YouTube. My grandpa Nace was a creative thinker, an inventor in his own way. He would find items from his house, tinker with them, until he created a new tool that had a practical use. And sometimes he would even make something cool, like a toy for us to play with. In fact, my first memory of my grandfather was one of his personal inventions. When we were young, he showed Jeff and me how to build a rubber band gun from clothespins. As a young kid, that was the coolest thing. A few years ago, he gave me a replica of another invention that he created. Using a clothespin and two tongue depressors, my grandpa created a tool to remove toast from a toaster to protect your fingers from the hot toast. A very cool idea. We still have it at our house today. One thing I will never forget about my grandfather is the way he washed his hands. Washing hands was something my grandpa Nace took very seriously. It was a ritual for him. He had it down to an art. He would start by turning the water on and waiting for it to get to just the right temperature. Then, with soap, he would start washing his hands, including individually washing every finger, one by one, just like this. Then, with a towel, he would dry his hands, including every finger, one by one, just like this. Just when you thought he was done and ready to leave the bathroom, he would turn the water on again, take his eyeglasses off his face, and rinse them under the water to remove any dirt or dust from the lenses. Then he would dry his lenses one by one prior to putting them back on his face. At this point, he realized that his hands might have gotten dirty from the cleaning. So he would start the hand washing process all over again, including washing every finger with soap, one by one, until every last finger was clean. Finally, he would go back to drying his hands a second time, ensuring each finger one by one was dry. When I asked my brother what he remembered most about our grandfather, he said that grandpa was always happy, that family was the most important thing to him, and that every time we saw him, grandpa would say it was the best day of his life. By looking at us, you might even hear my grandpa say, "Now that's a sight for sore eyes." Jeff could not be more correct in his description. We were lucky enough to recently celebrate my grandfather's 95th birthday. Our whole family was there, and my grandpa was so happy. He was smiling the whole evening. Towards the end of his birthday party, I asked him, of all of his 95 birthdays, which birthday was his favorite? He looked right at me and responded simply by saying, "This one." It was so sweet and it was so true. His family was all there to share his special day with him. And being with his family, seeing his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, is all he would ever ask for, his special day. My grandfather's birthday is in December, and with Hanukkah also in December, the holiday is a great reminder of him. His Hebrew name is Nissim, meaning miracle. Every time we say the second blessing while lighting the Hanukkah candles, we recite the following words: Sherasa Nissim, Ravatin Baimi, Vahem Bazman Haseh. That's right, we recite his name, Nissim, miracle, every night of Hanukkah. And like the holiday, my grandpa was a miracle. Look at the life he lived, the life he created. He was happily married to my beautiful grandma for 67 plus years. And he loved her and she loved him. They built a life together. They built a family together. They raised two wonderful sons who got married and provided them with 4 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. A boy from Atlanta who came to Seattle at a young age has moved on from this world, leaving behind quite the legacy. A true miracle. I love you, Grandpa.